It's good to see everybody here today. We have so many here that are visiting. We are delighted to have y'all here. I've enjoyed getting to introduce myself to several of y'all for the third or fourth time. I think every time I see Declan, I introduce myself to him and Wes as well. So good to have y'all here. We have several that are heading up to Wyoming, and that's a beautiful place this time of year, except for when it's not, but it sounds like it's going to be pretty. This time we've got our students from WT as well, and what a privilege it's been to have y'all coming and sharing the worship with us. You encourage us because of that. Good to have Tony back with us after a very painful injury, and several others that have not been able to have been here for a while. And it's just wonderful to see those of you who are always so faithful to be here. We are blessed to be able to come together and to worship God. Appreciate Mike's song service this morning, and everyone taking in so heartily in our praise of God and of Christ. We're privileged to be able to do that. Our class this morning, we talked about a number of things, but one of the things we talked about was the distractions that we have. And so I'm going to start off by distracting you, and hopefully I can bring you back after I do that. But I don't want to not mention not only what's going on right now, but what I think that we need to focus on as we go through it. It's been a very unusual set of the past couple of years, hasn't it? In addition to the things that have happened, we've had people that have been supposed to be taking care of us who have been caught in lies and half-truths and deceptions. And it's gone to the point where we're really not sure what to believe. And quite frankly, I have to tell you, I don't know what to believe. And I've been around for a while. I think one of the penalties for not telling the full truth all the time is once you lose trust, it's very difficult to ever regain it again. And so we live in an era where we're not able to always trust what is being brought to us. And so what do we do? We are certainly living in a time of unusual physical disruptions. I can tell you that you don't need a master's degree in economics to know that this probably is a good time to stock up a little bit. I think your grandmothers and your great-grandmothers would probably tell you that your best savings right now might be in your pantry for the first little bit. And I would take note of that. And the reason I would take note of that is this. I don't believe that we need to be so focused upon the physical that we lose sight of what we're here for. But if you're not prepared physically, then you are going to lose sight of what you're here for when difficult times come. And because of that, I think that we have an obligation in the area of stewardship, not to tear down our barns and build bigger ones so that we can store things, but in the area of our stewardship so that we don't become part of the problem. And so that when disruptions and problems occur, that we can be prepared to continue to serve God in the way He expects us to, including in helping out others if we're able to do so. Now, having talked about the distractions, I'll add one more. What's going on right now, obviously, on the other side of the world is serious. We don't know all of the facts on it, and again, that's one of the consequences of not always having trustworthy messengers. But we do know this. Innocent people are suffering, and some of those innocent people that are suffering are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to be having them on our hearts and praying on their behalf that God will intercede for them. One of the beautiful things about God's people that you will notice is that the faithful always come through well. And the faithful always come through in such a way as it will help the unfaithful, if they have the heart to do so, to become faithful. And I believe that's what we need to be focused on right now. And so as we think about all these things, now let's get into the lesson. We're going to be in Galatians. Well, actually, we're going to be in Philippians 2 to start with. We're kind of going through with a different Bible reading plan this year. I don't know what your Bible reading plan is, and I just hope that you have one. I hope that you take time each day to read from the Word of God, because as you read through the Word of God, you're going to find some truth that has the ability to change your life. We get so distracted with the physical things, and we, without a doubt, have to be attentive to a certain degree to some of the physical things, because we live in a physical world. But these great truths that we have within God's Word literally can change our lives if we'll allow them to do so. Romans 1 verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to save everyone who believes. That's a life-changing message right there. Salvation. We are not here to live and just take care of physical things. We are here to serve God. And the gospel is the power of God to save everyone who believes. If you don't have a good working knowledge of the Bible, and particularly of the New Testament, how can you say that you really believe what you need to be believing? What we may be believing is, in fact, what may be being filtered through the pulpit or through family who certainly love us, or through the news or through whatever. When you go to the Word of God, it can change your life because it is pure, it is unadulterated, it is unfiltered. It's the power of God. And by the way, for those who think that their time has already passed for being saved, in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, Paul said this, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Now, for those of you who thought you were too bad to be saved and who thought maybe you were the worst of sinners, I'm sorry to tell you, you're not number one in that area. Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said he was the chief and that God had still saved him. Christ Jesus had still saved him. These are life-changing truths, because once somebody realizes that despite of what has happened in the past, that they can begin from this moment on and start to live for God and still be saved and still have that eternity with God, it changes your life. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Some of your versions say disputing. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. Think about that, this part in verse 15, that we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Let me put in a word of encouragement to the ladies. We're bringing in somebody who is very closely involved with the curriculum and the development and observing the different things, I guess, maybe not in the development of the curriculum. And one of the things that she has noticed because of this is this identity teaching that's being done right now, where people identify themselves with whatever perverse pleasure they may think they have. And they're teaching children at the youngest level, confusing them about the identity that God gave them. You see, God gave all the little boys an X and an O chromosome. That'll never change. That's their identity. God gave all little girls and two X's in their chromosomes. That will never change. That is their identity. The very idea that identity politics and identity genders and identity whatever can be taught within our society is absolutely outrageous. And we cannot put up with that. You have to take a stand for that. We live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We're bringing in somebody, hopefully, that can talk about that in a very kind way, but in a very firm way. In some ways, I wish the men could come, but they can't. There will be women praying and doing all sorts of stuff, but you can get a tape of it if you want, or listen to it online, I mean. But be praying for that. It's an important thing that we think about because we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. This great truth that can change your life is this. We appear as lights among this generation. If we'll hold fast to the word, we can help people. It's one thing to condemn sin, which we have an obligation to do. It's one thing to hate sin, which we have an obligation to do. It's another thing entirely to hate the sinner, which we cannot do. If we're going to help people, we have to know what the Word of God says. We have to have faith in God. We have to have the courage to take righteous stands, kind stands for Him. It takes wisdom, does it not? The other thing that we need to do when we talk about all this is to do it without grumbling or disputing. Grumbling, pointing out something is wrong is not grumbling. Whining about something being wrong and wondering why God doesn't do something about it, that's grumbling. That's murmuring. Something we cannot do. The things that people are doing right now are things that God has clearly condemned. We don't need to hold God to account for that. We need to humbly beseech His help, and we need to hold fast to the Word of life. And again, this is a truth that will change your life, and it can change the life of other people in a really, really positive way. There are those who are lost who need salvation. Galatians chapter 5, now in verse 1. One of the things that Paul talks about a lot in his writings is the problem that they're having with Christians who were Jews, who are Jews by birth, but who are trying to bring in the law of Moses into Christianity. And so in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." What was happening? They were trying to go back to the old covenant, the law of Moses, and blend it, merge it with the new covenant, the law of Christ. And one of the things that Paul points out is you've been set free from that. What was happening? Look at verse 2. "Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I say again to every man who receives circumcision, he's under obligation to keep the whole law." They were trying to bring this part of the old covenant into the new covenant. And he makes a point that I think is absolutely critical. Verse 4, "You've been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." One of the most popular misconceptions in the religious world today is that once you are saved, you are always saved, that you cannot fall from grace. Look again what he says here. You have been severed from Christ. It is impossible to be severed from something that you've never been connected to. You can't sever me from my Canadian life because I'm not a Canadian, my Canadian citizenship. I've never been a Canadian. But if you were to sever me from my U.S. citizenship, well, that would mean something to me because I'm a U.S. citizen. When he says you have been severed from Christ, he's talking to people who were in Christ. He's talking to people who were saved. He's talking to people who were going to heaven. And now they've been severed from Christ. What does that do to the idea of once saved, always saved? It's certainly not preached within Scripture, but what does it do for those who would bring those half-truths and mistruths and outright lies? It exposes them, does it not? We need to take a stand for this. We need to do so in a kind way, but in an unashamed way. When he says you've been severed from Christ, when he begins Galatians, he points out very clearly he's writing to the churches throughout the region of Galatia. Those who are in the church are those who were added to the church by God after they obeyed the gospel. When he says you've been severed from Christ, he's saying it is not once saved, always saved. When he says you have fallen from grace, he points out for all time that you can fall from grace. The reason that we look at this is so that we don't. The reason that we look at this is so that we don't put up with the sin that is so prevalent today. We do live in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, and we might be very tempted to just go along with them and not hurt their feelings because we want to encourage them in everything, but we cannot encourage people on their path to hell. One of the scariest things for me, both as a preacher and as just a friend, is this. In my desire to encourage people, I don't ever want to mislead somebody into thinking that they are all right when they're not. Because when we do such a thing, then we literally are helping them to be severed from Christ. We need to do both. We need to be encouraging. I have a hard time when I see people singing the songs like "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee," like this, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee," or "I'm happy today, I'm happy today." That's not. If you're happy, let your face know it every once in a while. It will help people. It will help people to be attracted to Christ. But on the other hand, we cannot be foolish about it. We cannot be silly about it. We have to be serious about God, but we have to be encouraging and we have to be joyful. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We have to do both things, and we have to be very careful as we go through the Word of God to understand these life-changing truths. And the life-changing truth we find here, among others, is that you can fall from grace, but you don't have to. The next thing I want to look at, if you would, is, well, just continue on in verse 7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Have you ever been like that? You've been really, you've done well for God. You've been faithful to God. But then you allow yourself to become distracted. Or some sin comes into your life that becomes prevalent and becomes embedded in your life. And all of a sudden, though you are running a really good race, all of a sudden you find yourself running in the opposite direction. That's what Paul is asking. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The only person that can hinder you from obeying the truth is you. I know people can assist, but it's up to you. What are you doing about your service to God to make sure that you continue to run the good race? Now in verse 13, you are called to freedom, brethren, only don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. One of the things I love about what Christ has done for us is he has freed us from our fear of death, because he has freed us from the penalty of sin. That is an incredibly enlightening fact. It ought to make us happy from the moment we get up in the morning until the time we go to bed at night. But if we use that freedom, if we use that knowledge that he has forgiven us, and then we twist it and we pervert it into saying that, therefore I can continue to sin, oh, that's wrong. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. That's what he's talking about. But through love, serve one another. And then he reveals this great truth. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What's the statement? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What's the word? It's love. That's the key, is it not? Do you love your neighbor enough to tell him or her when they're on a reckless path that they're on a reckless path? Or do you value their friendship so much that you wouldn't dare jeopardize that friendship by bringing Christ into your relationship? If you have a friendship that would be jeopardized by your bringing Christ into the relationship, what good is that friendship? What good is it when we forget that we are through love to serve one another? If somebody is truly a friend and they're truly on a reckless path, warn them. If you do it in love, they'll accept it as well as they can. And if they don't, that's not your responsibility. Our responsibility is to certainly seek and save the lost. Our responsibility is to preach the truth in love. The truth will not always be well received. That's not our responsibility. Ours, preach it in love. Bring it accurately. Bring it with encouragement. Bring it with hope. And I believe you will be very pleasantly surprised at the outcome. I want to end with a passage or a set of passages, not a set of passages, but a set of verses. And it's found in Galatians chapter 6 now. And we'll start in verse 7. This is the final truth we want to look at today that can change your life. And it is simply this. Do not be deceived. Galatians 6 verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The one who sows to his own flesh will from flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. This is a fact that cannot be changed. We've got a lot of people that are involved in agriculture, and there's not a one here who would plant wheat and be surprised when corn didn't come up. And yet, how often do we see people plant sin and they're surprised when righteousness doesn't come up? Don't be deceived. That means people are able to be deceived in this area. God is not mocked. That means people try to mock God. Well, they may not try to mock God, but they are in essence mocking Him when they say, I can sin and still be okay. Whatever a man reaps, this he shall also sow. But look at this in verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good. There's a lot of things going on in this world right now that if you are not careful will cause you to lose heart. And it's really a tragedy when you lose heart in doing good. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. That's the message for today. That's the great truths that we can find just by looking at a few of the verses within God's holy word. Let me encourage you to remain in it on a daily basis. It will change your life. Now, for those who are ready to become Christians this morning, we would love to help you with that. If you have any other needs, won't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing?